Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves.
Hi there once again. And greetings to all of you who at this moment have decided to listen to what I have to say. And I will do it out of nothing else but love that I have for humankind. And that love is coming out of great suffering that I had to go through in my childhood, my youth, and my mature age, which I am in now. And very often, I still suffer. And from this suffering, I realized that the whole world, the whole humanity is suffering. But there is an exit. There is a solution. There is a salvation for this. There is a way, there is a system how to reduce this suffering, and not even to reduce, but to conquer it. As it is usual, I will start from the beginning, of course, my own beginning, beginning of my being. I will restrict myself on that, although in my further expositions, I will touch and talk about universal, primordial beginning and how it all happened to come into existence. I was born 53 years ago in Belgrade, Serbia, former Yugoslavia, in a communist system, and only those who know communism know what is it. But if we look at the whole world in a spiritual level, we can see that spiritually, basically, it is everywhere the same. In so-called capitalist countries or communist countries at that time, spirituality was extremely reduced, almost to nothing. In Western countries, because of enormous progress and run for acquiring material things, and in communism, because the dogma of the Communist Party, still God, the creator of the universe, was something that was not a topic of any serious question. That's why I was brought up, as many other children in at that time in Belgrade without anything spiritual, not even to mention the church. But from the very beginning, when I became conscious of myself, I was aware that there must be something else except of this that I can look, touch, smell, or feel in any way with my bodily senses. Also, as a very young child, I was thinking about death as a notion, as a concept, as a something which is real. I knew it from the very beginning that one day I'm going to die, and that my parents are going to die, and that everybody are going to die. And I was thinking, what is it, death? And where are we going to go? And what is going to be with us? Somehow, I couldn't accept the idea that we are going to vanish. We are going to be disintegrated. Somehow, deeply, in my little, inexperienced being, I felt that there is something beyond the doors of death. Also, very often, I would feel in very specific certain moments that I remember very well, I would feel that something very beautiful, warm, loving, tender, smooth would start to come into my being, into my body, into my soul, into my spirit. It would fill me, and it was filling me and filling me. And I thought I'm going to burst. But it was very beautiful feeling, like something was making love to me. But that love was absolutely different, even uncomparable with love that I was receiving from my parents. It was something deep in myself, and the only name is similar, or that is to say, the same love. But this love was something much more sublime. It was some kind of supreme love that was filling me, and I was feeling like I'm not in this body and in this world. But immediately after this, something different would occur, and that was something absolutely opposite of this. And after a while, after this beautiful feeling would slowly diminish and reduce, then this another feeling would come, which was something harsh and coarse and hard and sharp and not loving me, also coming into myself and cutting me all around from inside and giving me very bad time and giving me very bad feeling, like, what is it right now? It is like some kind of very sharp, coarse stone. Like it would go into myself, filling my body, filling my being, and making me feeling terrible. And these changes would occur from time to time, and leaving me absolutely puzzled, as I was a small child, but still very conscious and aware of these strange changings, from this beauty to this ugliness and hatred that I would feel from that. So from the very beginning, some strange power was manifesting itself directly into me and showing me that there are two poles of everything, good and evil. Although at that age I couldn't distinguish really as I distinguish today, but from the very beginning I was aware that there is some higher reality that exists parallel with this one. But anyway, I was growing up like other kids, going in school, doing my duties. And when I was 12 years old, my parents divorced. As a matter of fact, they were always quarreling, always fighting. They loved each other, I know that. But they were too immature, basically on spiritual level, to understand that marriage is something much, much more than the way they were living their marriage. Of course, they were not married in the church. There was no church blessing on their common life. And myself, as their child, their only child, because I don't have brothers and sisters, they considered me as their possession. And since they were not in a marriage blessed by the Lord, blessed by the Creator of this universe, I was basically born out of adultery. Because everything is adultery what is not blessed by the church. Of course, thinking of common life between man and woman. So being born out of adultery, I was not happy. I realized that something is missing in our small family. And I was always looking from my early age for that I was missing, that which we didn't have in our home, and that was God's blessing. That was blessing of the Creator of the universe, the Lord of life and death, Creator of everything visible and invisible, the Lord by itself. Of course, like many others, I started to look for it, to seek for inner fulfillment on many other places and in many different actions and situations, except in that only real one, which is God itself. So I started to go out from my home into the city when I was 12, and it happened to be at the same time when my parents divorced. Before that, we were still hanging around our neighborhood, as they call it today, homeboys. We were living in our neighborhood. But when I was 12, with some of my friends from the school, elementary school, we were sixth grade at that time, we realized that our neighborhood and our school is too small for us. It was too tight. And we wanted to go out into the big city. So from our suburbs of Belgrade, we decided to go into the center of the city. And when we went there, we met and became acquainted with similar children. I can say because we were still children at that time. We were 12, 13, 14. And we realized that those girls and boys were very similar to us. When I say us, I mean my friend Dusan, who was my best friend. We called him Gera because his last name was Gerzic. He was extremely gifted, talented, charismatic person, one day to become a very great painter and artist, respected even in New York, Canada, Paris, but always lacking something from inside, always looking for something more that we didn't have in ourselves. And that's how we met. We were both craving for some higher fulfillment, but we didn't know what it is. So when we went out there in the city, we met those kids like we were, and we immediately realized that they are very similar, almost the same like we were, also empty and thirsty and craving for some higher essence, for some higher meaning of life. So what we have done, what we could do, is to look and to use and to consume that which was this society, that society was giving to us, that society had in hold, because it didn't have anything else. And that is like everywhere, whether it was communist Belgrade or New York or London, basically it was drugs. Since we live in Balkan Peninsula, where North Africa and Asia are close to us, first we encountered hashish, of course marijuana, that was first. And before 80s, during the 60s and 70s, the opium was in charge. The heroin was still not there. heroin entered Serbian Belgrade by the beginning of the 80s. And young and inexperienced as we were, and with this craving emptiness in our young souls, when we smoked our first joint of hashish when we were 12 and 13, we found the answer. We realized how beautiful we felt with this poison in our nervous system, and we thought we found this supreme fulfillment that we were looking for. And in the beginning, it definitely gave us a certain power. All those friends of mine were very gifted, and I was with all of them, and it was some kind of avant-garde part of Belgrade youth at 70s and 80s of last century. And by the end of our elementary school, when we were 14 and 15, we were acquainted and faced with the hippie movement, which was still in full in Belgrade. And this hippie movement gave us the real life philosophy that we were looking for. There we found our liberation from the grayness and stupidity of the everyday life in communist Belgrade. And we thought with this rock and roll and hippie movement that came to us from the West, we thought that we finally found the way and our own philosophy of life. And very soon, the hippie movement, rock and roll, became a religion to us. That's a real word, a religion. Not only a philosophy, but the way of life. And after not that long time, we have decided to try to become a priests of our new religion, rock and roll. And we tried and we started to make rock and roll bands, to form our own music groups. And it happened that we were successful in it. All that circle of young people that I was with, friends of mine, they were all gifted for something. Painters, actors, writers, musicians. And I was one of them. And very early, we formed a music band called A Wave. And I was a singer in that band. And it was pretty successful because the instrument players in that band were very well skilled and very talented. So at the very beginning, we realized that we have a gift of playing music, composing poems, texts for our music. And also, from the very beginning, we somehow, from nowhere, we just knew how to react and how to play and how to walk on the scene and how to be in front of public but without feeling embarrassed or shy. So we realized somehow we are born and we are in a way better and higher and more perfect and more talented and more noble than the majority of young people who would come to watch us and to listen to us. And this feeling of being chosen in a way, this feeling was giving us certain pride and deep conceit in ourselves, thinking that really, in a way, we are chosen. But as I realized this many years after this, this feeling of being chosen, this false feeling of being chosen, was our greatest enemy. Because when you, in this way, start to separate yourself from others, thinking you are better, thinking you are more developed in any way, it makes you isolated. It makes you sooner or later feeling extremely lonely. And later on, I remember that song from Rolling Stones, "I'll take you to the top, baby." But then Jagger says, "It's so lonely on the top, baby." And it is really lonely when you separate yourself from others, being on the top this way. But then I was really thinking about it, and I came to conclusion that, as a matter of fact, and unfortunately, it was not top at all. It was bottom. We were underneath the world, the society, deliberately cutting ourselves from others, thinking that we are better. And this feeling is feeding us more and more with craving. It was feeding us with hunger. And our craving and our hunger for spiritual fulfillment started to be even bigger. And what is there to fill that emptiness? As I said, there were drugs. And we were getting hooked on those drugs more and more. Thank God, and fortunately for myself, I don't know how, I never got hooked on heroin, although I have tried it several times. And especially those friends of mine who liked it, and who were, to my great sadness today, were getting seduced on it more and more, they were telling me, try it. I said, no, it's giving me a nausea, and I'm just vomiting, and I don't feel good. No, they said, try again. It is always like that in the beginning. But somehow, and thanks all heavens and to the Lord Himself, I never found that what they were talking about, that good feeling from heroin. So finally, I decided not to take it because it was always really giving me a bad time. But still, I didn't break with smoking marijuana and hashish. And as they say today, those are light drugs. It's a great delusion. It's an enormous mistake. Marijuana and hashish are extremely dangerous drugs, very heavy drugs. If we talk about drugs, we can say that light drugs are coffee and black tea. And there is also a type of tea which they drink in South America, which is called mate. Those plants, they possess in themselves caffeine. Caffeine is a light drug. It's a chemical substance. It's a stimulant. And that's a light drug. Heavy drugs are hashish, marijuana, LSD trips, hallucinogenic mushrooms, psilocybe, mescaline, peyote, those psychedelic drugs. And mortal drugs are heroin, cocaine, crack, and who knows what else is there today in the drug market that I'm not going to explore. And I just don't want to explore what the sick human mind invented lately. But we were taking drugs, and we were also taking LSD trips. That was very fashionable at that time, in the beginning of 80s in Belgrade. And I have to admit, on the level of avant-garde art, especially music and visual arts, it gave us a certain strength, a certain inspiration, a certain spirit, which was giving us skill to do something weird, new, interesting, which others couldn't do because they didn't have this very specific spirit in their minds. And in the beginning we thought we are really something extremely good, something different. But those spirits which were in charge of those drugs, or better to say demons, were there and waiting to come and to repay our debts that we own to them. Because those fallen spirits, spirits of darkness, so-called demons, they give something, but they always come to take what we owe to them. And those were our souls. But when you say souls, it sounds so ancient, so dogmatical. But what they ask for us is our joy of life. First, they give you false joy of life, and then they come.
And they take every joy from you.
And they give you just fear. And at that time, I remember, on the other side of my life, I was studying dentistry. Although I was always engaged in painting and visual arts, but I was raised and brought up this way to study something concrete. When I told my parents that I would like to study art academy, they said, well, no way. You can always paint and draw and make your sculptures whenever you want and wherever you want. But as long as you are in this home, you have to finish something concrete. You have to study something concrete. So, since they were medical workers, I decided not to enter the medicine, but dentistry, because it was giving you more possibilities for freedom. Because at that time, as a medical doctor, of course, you couldn't be a private. But as a dentist, you could open your private clinic and private office. So I have decided, okay, I'll study dentistry to satisfy my parents. But at the same time, I was going to another school where I was learning how to sculpt. It was a school which was preparing teenagers, kids from high schools who were preparing to enter the art academy. So it was a school for teaching them how to pass the entering exams for academy. So it was a great opportunity for me to have a studio, to have a models, to have clay, and to have a teacher. And I was sculpting over there. And those great, beautiful days for me, remembering, escaping all that madness of everyday life and finding this little peace in this studio in a very peaceful part of Belgrade, with not much traffic and noise. So those were beautiful days for me, sculpting those gypsy faces, because gypsies were very poor, and they were coming and selling their bodies to be models. So they were very exotic to me, like Hindu or like Egyptians, and they were always very attractive to me to try to catch the way how they look, the way how their bones are exposed. But still, at that time I was engaged with I had a girl. She was 1 year older than me, and she was very, very, how could I say, very sinful person. Although I loved her very much, because she was close to me, because I was a very sinful person. But she was even more than me. She was always into drugs and every kind of sexual mutation and perversion and craziness. And at that time, of course, that was very, very attractive to me and very common in the circle of young boys and girls that I was with. And it was so cool and weird, you know, to be with a girl like this. But we were sinking deeply into drugs and into a lot of crazy things. So she would always come after my sculpting classes, and of course she would bring some kind of drug, mostly hashish. We would smoke, and then we would go into the city night, walking all around, drifting through the city, and then going into nightclubs and spending the whole night until the morning in the nightclubs, dancing, drinking, being together with that kind of youth at that time. There was a nightclub in the art academy called Academy. It was Painting Academy. And you can imagine what kind of youth used to gather over there. Of course, very clever, very gifted, very intellectual, but extremely seduced on many things. So years were passing by, and I was feeling more and more empty into myself, in my soul. This emptiness was screaming more and more every day. And if I go back a little bit, when I was 16, 17 years old, there was a very specific feeling. It started to grow in myself. From time to time, it would appear from nowhere, and it was not good at all. I felt that some evil power just enters into myself, and I just didn't know how to expel it out of me, how to push it away, how to defend myself from it. It just comes there, goes into myself, and makes me feeling that everything is against me, that the whole world is against me, and that something is threatening me. Something powerful and evil was approaching in those moments, and I was hopeless, helpless. I couldn't do anything, and I would just shrink into myself, into one small knot, trying to stand it and trying to just to wait until it goes away. And whenever I would have my look, everything was against me. The wall was against me. The radio was against me. My bed, fruits on the table, everything was shouting on me and attacking me. And those were those fallen spirits that are torturing the whole planet, the whole humanity. And many years after that, I realized that it was a beginning, and that could have continued as something very terrible called hebephrenia. It's a type of schizophrenia, which is the worst. Hebos means boy in Greek. And this is this youth schizophrenia that comes to young boys and girls, and during the time it deteriorates their minds to the terrible degree. And this is the worst type of schizophrenia. And it was coming to me, but somehow, and by the prayers of somebody, I was saved. and it didn't destroy myself, it didn't destroy my mind. Also, during those years of my youth, since I was always looking for spiritual meaning of life, for higher meaning of life, for spiritual realms, very soon I got acquainted with some people who were members of Transcendental Meditation called TM. It is a spiritual movement, came from India, of course, which was brought to Europe by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who was invited by Beatles. And John Lennon invited him to come to London. And as we know that Beatles were followers of Transcendental Meditation, of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, so it was a very widespread movement in the world, and of course they came to Belgrade as well. And I thought that something very special, something great, that you don't need drugs, because I was always aware of it, that there must be a way to feel good, but without chemicals, without narcotics. And I was always deeply sure that there must be something like this. So when I got in contact with the people who were meditators, as we said, they were meditating, they were following the this kind of spiritual practice, I said, this sounds very interesting. This might be something very, very serious. So I went there and I received mantra. Mantra is a word that you receive in this initiation, as they call it. And you receive this mantra, it's a Sanskrit word, which you never know. Actually, you are not allowed to know the meaning of this word. And this word, you're supposed to repeat thousands and hundreds of thousands, million times in your life. Very strange. You have to repeat something
to become part of yourself.
You're not allowed to know what does it mean. But in the beginning, I thought that's a part of the mystery, and that's how it has to be. So I started to use my mantra, and I became a meditant, transcendental meditant, TM meditant. And as many of those seductive things, in the beginning it gives you a feeling of power, feeling of possessing something that others don't. And really, in the very beginning, it gave me peace, and I could study much better. And what was very interesting and very surprising to me, that I stopped smoking cigarettes, of course. I was always against it. I was, of course, I started to smoke when I was, young, let's say 15, 16. And, but I never enjoyed it, really. It was smelling bad. It was giving you nothing, you know, comparing to drugs, comparing to marijuana, for example. At least you get stoned, you get certain sensations. But when you smoke, it's nothing. You just have a bad breath, nothing else. But still, I was seduced. I couldn't get off of it. But when I started to meditate, somehow I just felt I don't want to smoke anymore. So it gave me even stronger feeling of that I found something really good. And this friend of mine who actually acquainted me with this movement, with this sect, I can say today, he also gathered others from from the circle of young men that I was together, acquainted with, and mostly they were rock and roll musicians. And unfortunately, many of them were hooked on heroin. So this friend of ours, he was older than us, and he was a psychologist. He gathered us at his home, and we were meditating there together. And all of this, to be even more surprising, that those heroin addicts, they started to get off from it. They somehow, they didn't continue anymore to use the heroin.
But it was only for a short period of time.
In about less than a year, I started to smoke again, and all those unfortunate friends of mine, they didn't just come back to heroin, but they started to take it even more than they did before. So I started to realize that something is not that really good with Transcendental Meditation, but somehow I just couldn't get out of it. It got hold of me. It put deep root into myself. So I couldn't pluck this root out of me. And I continued to meditate. And I did it for more than 7 years. And all those years were not going good at all. Drugs, transcendental meditation, sex, and as a young jury, used to sing sex and drugs and rock and roll. That was my religion, that was our religion, that was our philosophy or life, or my friends that I was living with in 70s and 80s in Belgrade. So what happened with that band that I was part of, that I was a member of? Unfortunately, or fortunately, today I say fortunately, one day I got very sick. I had a very strong pain in my abdomen. And it turned out that it was a very serious thing, and it is called ileus. I don't know exactly how it is pronounced in English, but in Latin it is called ileus. When your intestines are somehow put together that they don't function anymore. So the only way to survive is to get surgery, and that's what happened to me. I almost died, and at the last moment I was taken to the hospital, and they opened me up immediately, and they realized that my intestines were not working anymore, and one part of it corrupted. It was out of circulation. So one part of my intestines died, had to be cut and taken out. But thank God, God gave us a lot of intestines in our abdomen. So thank God I'm alive and my digestion is good today. But what happened? Since it was very hard intervention and I was in very hard condition, I almost died, I was forced to stay at home for a couple of months and to recover. And in the meantime, the band was progressing, and they reached certain style, and they became very renowned in Belgrade. So when I came back, when I went to see them, they said, well, Alexander, that was my previous name when I was civilian, they said, well, you know, there is another concept of band now, and we don't need you anymore. Well, you know, it was pretty bitter to me to hear that. But I said, well, okay, if that's so, I accept it. But I felt bitter, I felt sad. But now I realize it was my salvation. Because all of them, basically, 90% of them are now dead. They all died, terrible deaths. Mostly AIDS, Parkinson, epilepsy, hepatitis, overdoses, suicides, and many other terrible ways to die very young. Basically, they all died before they got 40. That was rock and roll in the 80s in Belgrade. And of course, I'm talking about those who were in the center of it. I'm not talking about those nice boys and girls who would come to the concert, jump and dance for a while and then go home and be good, nice boys and girls. But I'm talking about those
friends of mine,
boys and girls, who were completely into it, who dedicated themselves to their music, to their stages, to their texts, to their art, because they deeply, sincerely believed
that they are doing something good,
that they are bringing something new to the society. But they were in a great, great illusion. And that illusion, not many years after that, have taken their lives away. Beautiful young men, boys and girls, clever, nice looking, they are all dead in graves, because we were in delusion. We were thinking we are doing something good, but it turned out to be something extremely bad. Because not only they died, but they infected many, many other young men and women who were listening to that music, or who were going to their exhibitions and looking at their sick paintings. So that's how it was. And when we were about 25, 26, 27 years old, finally the little Belgrade became too small for us. And we realized, especially because of the fact that communism was dying in Yugoslavia, and we could feel that something really bad will happen, which actually did. You all know for that terrible war that happened in former Yugoslavia and how terrible and savage it was. And not only that, but we realized that we couldn't grow and express ourselves in that communist dying, post-communist system in Belgrade. So we decided finally, that's it, it's end with Belgrade, let us go out. So one part of my friends, certain number of young men and women, which part of it was myself, we decided to go to America. The biggest part went to New York, New York City. Some of them went to the West Coast. Then another part, a half of it, went to Europe, mostly Berlin, London, Paris, or Barcelona. And this was the new page in our lives. Finally, as a still young man, I was 27. I just graduated in Belgrade University. I finished my dentistry, became a medical doctor, became a dentist. We decided to move and to leave our homeland, our parents, our siblings, our friends, everything, and to go to the big world and to try to find American dream. Have we found this American dream? It is a great question. And to that question, I will again answer in our next meeting. Until then, I wish you a pleasant day, and I hope I could express myself in this language of English, which is not my native language, and I believe you could grasp what I wanted to say. I will try to continue, and I will try to talk about my life more, and through story of my life, I will try to tell the story of many other lives of young people who are in the world today. Until then, goodbye.
Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amphilochia.